Hey, welcome back to the Six of Discs. This is the solo show that is part of the Six of Swords. All four are separate shows: the Six of Swords, Six of Cups, Six of Wands, and the Six of Discs. This show is evolving in of itself, the Six of Discs. It is becoming from a solo show where I pontificate and speak at length, or at some certain length, about my own experiences and certain topics of the day and relevant to the time or the zeitgeist. We are going to start shifting this into a more geographical show, but the less I say about that and the more I do about that, the better. So, of course, off the top, this is the point where the executive producers, real Hollywood credits, get their names and messages mentioned per the value-for-value role-playing game model, an evolution of the value-for-value role-playing... Oh, I guess I'm so used to saying that. The evolution of the value-for-value model from goodly favorable friends at No Agenda, the Crackpot and the Buzzkill, that is Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak, giving them due love. There's a meetup coming up, too, just to timestamp this as well. We'll be having a Boston meetup that has been moved up from the 2nd of May to the 9th of May. For those who listen to the show who are also in attendance or accustomed to attending these events, that will be coming up. And of course, if you're listening to this way in the future, hey, look, this is when that happened right now. This is the time period of this conversation. Of course, those who donate to the show become executive and associative executive producers at the $200 level. That's 200 American, but we do honor the Canadian dollarettes and the Australian dollaroos. And any other income form that you choose to use, bitcoins accepted, anything of the common variety, you can go to occultfan@gmail.com as your send address at paypal.com, or you can simply go to occultfan.com and hit the donate button there. It's easiest and best to do either way. I suggest just going to PayPal and entering in occultfan@gmail as your destination, as so many do. Usually will shoot you a friendly message if you are at a certain amount. If you are an executive producer or an associate executive, you will hear from me through Discord if you're on the Discord, or email if you're via the emails. And of course, if you want to be on the Discord, do reach out to me at the Twitters, occultfan at Twitter or occultfan@gmail.com. And I will give you an opportunity to be on the Six of Wands, which is the live show of the Six of Swords, and you will be able to take part in the value-for-value role-playing game aspect. So, in the meanwhile, let's get straight into the show now. Here we are. This is Six of Discs, Episode 4 of Season 2, Episode 50 of the Six of Swords. So, I suppose I'll begin this... as these are always easier to do with other people to bounce off of. And, you know, there's a reason that No Agenda has two hosts. There's something about the energy, especially as a 00-degree Libra. I have a lot easier time being able to work in groups and work with others, especially one-on-one, it seems for me. And how about that? Seems like I have a diamond of my own helping me out here, so I am never alone, as Epictetus noted. And I flipped open to page 222 of Eastern Body, Western Mind, which is the fourth chakra. How about that? It's the love chakra. This feels good. This feels like it's going to be a good Six of Discs. And the quote that I'm looking for, oh, of course, it's... Pierre Teilhard de Chardin says, "Driven by the forces of love, the fragments of the world seek each other so that the world may come into being." And that's what you're doing by listening to this. This is part of your coming back together by listening to this show. No accidents at all, as you'll find out from my experience. I'm going to give you some examples of what I have been going through recently. especially with the reconnection that I've had with one Davide De Angelis, or Davide De Angelis, or just Dave, as it were. And let me also consider, considerately consider reading to you this quote before we get there. And this is under the heading of compassion. It says, "Great compassion penetrates into the marrow of the bone. It is the support of all living beings. Like the love of a parent for an only child, the tenderness of the compassionate one is all-pervasive." And that's a quote by Nagarjuna. And it says it's from the first century. Now, if we're talking Anno Luciae, then, I mean, that might be like minus 3, I think, centuries. We're 4,000 years ahead in the year of light. I believe it's 4,000 years ahead. Yes, it's 6,020 right now, 6020. But if we're talking 2020, then this was first century. And it says it's from India. And another related quote, "Whoever wishes to attain Buddhahood need not follow the various practice, but must only practice one thing, and that is deep compassion." I'm going to close this now and bring out my journal. That was from Anadeya Judith's Eastern Body, Western Mind. And to me, that's very fitting, as in my journal here, I talk about, let's see, that's literally how I start this morning. Let's see, I'm reading to you from my personal journeying. Twin Peaks finale today, we watched that, followed by our reading Twin Peaks, the final dossier. We just read up to about page 33 to 35. We will also watch Lodge 49, okay. Invisible's reading group tonight, yes it is. Gonna want to take it easy today. Okay. I think today's the sixth day for me, time gnosis wise. I talked about 2 weeks ago with my call with Davide or Dave. Oh, yes. The unpleasant subject of MKUltra will come up today. Bowie was doing. Bowie was doing with himself what Jolly West was trying to force everyone to do. Interesting thought, Nate. What do you got here? I'm reading. This is literally the six of discs. This is how we do here. It's nice and laid back with my MKUltra on my MKUltra and my MKUltra on my MKUltra. What? You'll notice that there's an MK2 at the end of all of the Twin Peaks The Return episodes. Just of note. What's all this about here? Well, I'm bringing it around. Oh, yeah. Six of discs. Yes. Compassion is something that comes up here. Yeah, Red 33. Oh yeah, one of these years we'll have to hold that on Cinco de Mayo, the Boston meetup. Of course, to get back into this really about compassion, it's something that obviously is on my mind a considerable amount. I think somewhere along the lines that I was writing about how you really need only a few things, and one of them is compassion. I may come back to my journals to read that to you. I may just completely just put it in as we are right now and tell you this way. Of point of note, flipping open to page 222 is the same thing that I did in the book Cosmos and Psyche, which took its time getting here. But on that same book's page number, I'm going to read to you from Cosmos and Psyche, because I've been very fascinated with the Saturn-Pluto or Pluto-Saturn alignments. And full credit to the book written by Becca Tarnas's, it's not often you get to do that, Becca Tarnas's father, Richard Tarnas, Cosmos and Psyche, Intimations of a New World View from Viking Press. This is from 2006, same year Occult Fan is from. So I'm going to just flip to, yes, this is interesting because I was thinking, well, and this is 222, which is three of them, and a six itself. It's interesting to think about, it's like, well, okay, there's always these forces going on, and yet, what about, like, when it's not that way? Or, you know, he answers a question intuitively. And we're just going to start with the third paragraph on this page, the third full paragraph. Historical periods in which Saturn and Uranus moved into dynamic aspect were marked by certain distinctive themes that were readily intelligible in terms of the archetypal principles associated with these two planets, the exacerbation of tensions between authority and rebellion, order and freedom, structure and change. These two pillars, yo. Often the two archetypal principles combined are interpenetrated in contradictory ways, repressive revolution, erratically unpredictable authority, and so forth, as evident during the terror in revolutionary France and the cultural revolution in communist China just mentioned. Especially frequent with this cycle were crises of the sudden collapse of structures, crashes and accidents, grim awakenings and sudden breakdowns, whether political, economic, or psychological. Such phenomena regularly coincided with hard aspect alignments of the Saturn-Uranus cycle. With the additional presence of Pluto in the more rare three-planet configuration, an especially massive, overwhelming, sometimes catastrophic dimension was typically constellated. So he gives an example. In the 1929-33 period, the widespread political and economic destabilizations, Saturn-Uranus, suddenly catalyzed a full range of characteristic Saturn-Pluto phenomena, widespread financial failure, poverty, and traumatic personal hardship on a vast scale throughout the world, plus the rapid ascendancy of the authoritarian and totalitarian forces in Germany, the empowerment of Hitler and his anti-Semitic policies after the collapse of German liberalism and the Weimar government, in the Soviet Union, intensified repression by Stalin, and the immense disaster. I can hear Jordan B. Peterson's voice reminding us to read Gulag Archipelago. The immense disaster imposed on the Ukraine by his policies of compulsory collectivization, mass starvation, Gulag. There is Gulag imprisonment. Exile, and the forced displacement of millions, the aggressive assertion of fascist movements that pressed for power in many other countries. Economists like Martin Armstrong, who is the man and thou shalt be familiar with, economists are still unable to adequately account for the sudden mass collapse in 1929-33 that shook the world structures. I'll interpolate here and say, yeah, you might want to get familiar with Tragedy and Hope. Especially the work by Richard Andrew Grove, and y'all see what I'm saying. The world structures to their foundations and had so many long-term consequences. It was also during this period that the first splitting of the atom occurred in 1932, do the math, enough to know the dangers of our second-guessing, at the Cavendish Laboratory. Do look up the connections between Cavendish's and the president who was shot at age 35 in a murder most foul where Bob Dylan says Faith, Hope, and Charity died, which represents another form. So again, at the Cavendish Laboratory, which represents another form of structural breakdown with a sudden release of Titan, can you hear it? Titan, Titanic energy. Also with consequences that extended far into the future. This was the only T-square of Saturn, Uranus, and Pluto in the 20th century. Yeah, man. I mean, and you got those people who, like, brought up Neptune and Uranus in their albums. I mean, I won't cop to listening to Blink-182 as much as I did in high school. I was more into, like, well, Manson, you know, aka Marilyn, and the Marilyn, that stuff will come up later in this as well. I was also into Nirvana, right? Rage Against the Machine, System of a Down, and Tool. But yeah, I did listen to, when I was younger, high school especially, stuff like you know, I'm not going to admit to Insane Clown Posse. Actually, it was only the Great Malenko album. Not like I know anything about that. But I will perpetually make fun of those who make fun of the magnets. How do they work? You explain magnets besides that guy on YouTube, you know, the something monkey guy. He's got the Triforce on his hand. Love that guy, but strikes me as odd. It's like a different dimension kind of guy. Yeah, that's cool. But, like, he talks about how magnets are, like, a particular covalent form of, like, some kind of, like, waveform that is syncretized and focused into a particular coherence, And he explains that. And I understand that gravity is the opposite of electricity, or magnetics is rather the, or some kind of like polarity. So chaos and freedom is the same with a negative force, positive force, male and female, so on and so on and so on. And remember, it's important to know that as far as grand divine law, you're a man or a woman, a son of Adam or a daughter of Eve. Per C.S. Lewis, male and female is what animals are, and the government will maritime law you into that. The government, you know. And again, understand that I, 00 Libra, have a balanced understanding of these things. I respect law and order as well, the need for that. There is no use in having a completely subjective reality without the objective, or else it's all just a hodgepodge, a mishmash of nonsensical idiocy. So you need a strong objective mind. So to follow reason, as a brother of mine, who is a dear brother, a companion of mine as well, says to me, you know, it's like there's different kinds of reason. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And that is a conversation for another time. So to continue into this, to carry on further even, it's important to recognize that there's a certain smashing that is being done of the objective mind utilizing subjective. And that's kind of what I was saying about David Bowie doing to himself what the MKUltra program would do. It's one thing when you initiate yourself knowingly and willingly, and that's part of the large part of the topic today for what I'm talking about, is the changes that I am going through, changes. As the economy crashes, my career takes off. All right. And, you know, there's this interesting site about Mockingbird. I'm like, are you guys serious? But it's hard to tell, like, what the score is. All I know is the going has gotten weird, and I have turned pro. You know? So, let's go. It's not let's rock. Because there's two different Dianes. Or are there more? Is that Linda? Remember, Richard and Linda. 430 to 53. It's interesting. Tons of characters in Twin Peaks match my family's names to an absurd degree. Even General Nathan Twining is in there with the twins and such. I think I brought that up when I was on the, gosh, what's that called? The Unwrapped podcast? It's a Twin Peaks podcast. But anyways, I'm being served a triple meal of, get this, a taco cheeseburger with a taco and buffalo chicken pizza right now. So I'm going to take a quick break, collect my thoughts, and come back into this with some further depth. But I hope you're enjoying what you're hearing so far. A lot of people are really interested in hearing about my being born in Framingham. I'm very open about my chart, my natal chart. You can look it up yourself. Chris Brennan did a good job one day describing how it was like really obvious it was time for me to join Freemasonry at the age of 33. So there's a lot of forces going on, and I am not super hip into the conspiratorial side of things anymore. I really used to be, but it seems so immature to me now that it seems like it's really infantile to be paranoid. And yet at the same time, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean that Julian West and everyone else, Ed Helms and God, what's the other guy's name, Sidney Gottlieb, aren't actually out to get America and the rest of the world, you know? So it's like, where does the myth begin and the line between reality end? Well, point those antennas toward heaven, because we're going to get further into that as we come back after this. 119. This is 119 Resources from 365 Tao by Deng Meng Tao. So here we go. Use a mirror in difficult times. You will see both cause and resolution. When faced with adversity, you must ask whether you have done anything to bring misfortune upon yourself. If the present difficulties are the unforeseen outcome of events that you yourself set in motion, then it is necessary both to learn from your mistakes and to search for any possible way to correct them. If the difficulties are due to character flaws, then the situation should be resolved, and the basic fault must afterwards be eradicated. I could edit that out, but how about we just go with the kitsugi here? The wonderful part of all this is that the resources for resolving our problems are also within us. When we watch athletes in competition and they outperform even their own high standards, we often say that they reached deep down and were able to give something extraordinary. When we are in the midst of our own confrontations, we must be the same way. We need to reach deep within and use the utmost of our abilities to overcome our obstacles. This is the one manifestation of our continuing efforts at self-development. Oh, how about that? This is one manifestation of our continuing efforts at self-development. When confronted with problems, we have all the more power to respond. When we triumph, we have even more confidence and facility to handle future problems. Therefore, meet life head on. Maintain your self-cultivation. Move forth to confront difficulties and accumulate the momentum that success will give you. I had paused this recording at the 119 point, and there it was in the book for today. This being recorded on April 29th, 2020, or 6020, depending. And to do things in tandem, from the east to the west, from the east to the west, from the west to the east, from the west to the east, move towards the east. However, we will start with the east in this case, and now do Tolstoy's Calendar of Wisdom for April 29th. A person can fulfill his purpose in life equally as well as in illness as in health. Say that again, because that's so cool. A person can fulfill his purpose in life equally as well in illness as in health. If we meditate upon the existence of life after death, then all illnesses would seem to be taking us closer to the movement from one life to another. A transfer. I love you guys for sticking with me here. A transfer more desirable than undesirable. Wow, this is amazing. During these pains, we can understand and explain for ourselves what will happen to us and prepare for the new state of our next existence. Usually people think that it is possible to serve God and humanity only when you are healthy. This is not true. Very often it is the contrary. Christ served God and all mankind when he suffered on the cross, and even then he forgave those who killed him. Every person can do likewise. You cannot say which state is better, a healthy or ill state, in the service of God and humankind. For yourself, and for yourself only, it is necessary to have health and power. But to serve God, it is not necessary. And sometimes, even the opposite is true. Very often, when I have dealt with terminally ill people, I have learned that the most important thing is not hiding the approaching death from the patient, but on the contrary, explaining to him his own divine spiritual nature, which grows in him and which cannot be destroyed by death. Illness almost always destroys one's physical power, and they release the power of one's soul. Let me say that again. Illnesses almost always destroy one's physical power, and they release the power of one's soul. For a person who concentrates his consciousness in the spiritual domain, illnesses do not diminish his goodness, but on the contrary, they increase it. If it were only possible to speak of all of the things that have been popping up in this time, divine feedback, I refer to it. I find that people who use the term synchronicity at this point seem a little infantile or profane or depraved. That's just my divine feedback on the matter. The point is, divine feedback has been reading to me the same things into my own soul scripture that, for example, Thomas J. Hudson's The Laws of Psychic Phenomena has to say, talking about how we have two minds, one of rational being subjective and the other one being rationality according to the objective. And it seems that the archonic structure, if you will, is attempting to get people to be overemphasizing not so much the objective rationality, which is deeply important so that we don't have chaos, and all things that are organizations need to be run with that objective rationality so that they manifest objectively. Even people who are into, say, the socialized state of things, that it's dependent upon a vanguard of the interests of, say, in one case, what you might call the proletariat or something like that. But it's been seen time and time again that the fish rots from the head down, of course. So there's no easy answers coming from me here. But I do think that if we pay attention to the natural cycle of things, and if we honor the fact that death isn't something to be afraid of, but that it is something that emboldens us and encourages us to live in the moment and to live well, to continue our personal self-cultivation, that is the right way to look at this. Like, even what we're going on with, if you're listening to the show some years in the future, you know, right now it's just a Pluto-Saturn conjunction going on with a lot of insanity, a lot of miscreantism using different mind control techniques, mass mind control techniques, ones that Gurdjieff would admonish us to destroy. So as part of my self-cultivation and service to humanity, this is my service to humankind. This is my ability to be Christ-like. It's to just really dig into the truth of the matter of things from the angle of God's own, from that way to be dispelling the darkness of the satanic lies, if you will, using Shaitan as the adversary or the deceiver, and to be one of those who bring the light in a very direct and honest and sexy voice, sexual voice. I guess if it's a sexual voice, it would be like, oh yeah, how about that truth for you? Oh yeah, it feels good, huh? Not like those impotent liars who, when my truth's light rigidly penetrates them, they fade away and melt. You know, I'm just saying, baby, come on, get with the truth. Go for truth with, oh wait, that's my dude show. Anyways, shout out to Dark Journalist, because he's also a fellow truth teller and a man of integrity, and I dare say one of the actual practitioners of true self-cultivation. Right on, Dan Wise. Much love from Mr. Frodo. Speaking of men born on Hobbit's Day, Michael Faraday, yours truly. I believe the guy who wrote all of the Hannibal Lecter things is too, so there's a smorgasbord for you right there. But yes, that is a important thing to remember about the the nature of the Lord of the Rings, tying back to, as I mentioned, Becca Tarnas, and then to Richard Tarnas here. And we're going to jump back into some more of the cycles of things, because it is the natural cycle that is ordained, so to speak, to not be born old and grow young, which would be to go backwards or to be backsliding or to just be anti-natural, but rather to understand that, like, you know, I love my grandma when they were alive. I love both my grandmothers. I didn't get to meet my grandfather on my mother's side, Charles Lee Miller, a Mason out of Wellesley Lodge, no longer extant, neither him nor the lodge, just like Philip Jeffries isn't extant in the same way as Jack Stevens. So I like how David did that, for those who are listening. But point being is that when you look at being born and taking your first breath, just like when the new Dougie was born, just like my father is Douglas, and there was Douglas Milford. But just like how when Dougie takes his first breath in the Red Room, then he's actually alive, because the vital force is flowing and the electromagnetic structure can then be activated polarity-wise, and so thus bringing real life to the ensouled being that is made of spirit. One must understand that it's the same way that, you know, people die when they're old, and it's the vain pretense of the satanic or the anti-real or the anti-life even to cling to life. You know, where have all the cowboys gone? Wait, I'm not sure if I want to talk about those asshats getting shot in the foot, for example. You know, I don't know if this grease is hot enough to make those go off. But the point is that you realize that, yes, we are born with a built-in need for termination, cessation, so that we can move on to that next life, as the Tolstoy was talking about. It's truly the weak of spirit. It's truly the materialist who is without God. It is truly the satanic, if you will, who does not appreciate that death comes and that it is a good thing.
all right, maybe I just have a hard-on for Pluto and Saturn because I happen to have them both in Scorpio in my ninth house. You know, it could be that. It could be that it has something to do with my appreciation for the true nature of our being, the macabre in a sense that I am not merely fascinated with it, but embrace it and feel my divine destiny with the fact that, like, I knew this from another life. All right, my south node is at 29 degrees Scorpio, bringing it full circle, no pun intended. My destiny is to bring from the ninth into the third house. That's my destiny for y'all. You're feeling it right now. This is it. All right, this is a lot. So I've been taking Austin Coppock's Foundations of Astrology, but something tells me that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just catch up for my own self. Want to talk about, like, how Anthony Peake has been popping back up again. I believe this time around we will have him on the show. Sooner than later, although there is the focus on women right now. I've got a lot of other guests coming up that are going to be great for the Six of Swords, but right now this is the Six of Discs, so let's keep on that. Looking over at my Marauders map here, solemnly swear that what? Well, you know, let's talk about how my grandfather Harry Foster is like Harry Potter, and how I live in the town where Wizard Rock is actually originated. How there were no accidents. So I had this great conversation with Davide De Angelis, the creator of the Starman Tarot. It's really, really, really put me on this path. Like, it's given me a whole other, you know, how you say, the letter X or intensification, the intens, you know, to decimate, to reduce by 10, to intensify or de-intensify, you know, disputing intentions does invite devastation, but not just for the reason that might seem self-evident at first. Now, anyways, if you're staying with me here, coming back around to the Saturn and Pluto and the aspect of Scorpio and my true nodes and my south node, true north, being the 29 degree in Taurus, bringing it into firm, fixed, steadfast reality. Yo, right now the sun's about at, because I got to do my first decan, and it's 4:20 p.m. right now. I do have to do my first decan soon just to keep up with that. But yes, I'm going to give you guys some straight up like where we're at right now. And that is the hour of Saturn on the day of Mercury. Talk about fixed and flowing. Yeah, we are at, it's about to be 10 degrees soon. So that means I really, after this podcast that I'm doing right here, this radio show, go do that. The moon's at 27 degrees Cancer. And the true node is at 0 degrees Cancer. So there's more of some matching up. I'm sure those who are doing the astrology right now can keep up. Pluto's retrograde, 24 degrees. And Jupe is right there too. And that's at 26 degrees. But he is going in the fast pace enough. Saturn, of course, at 1 degree. Aquarius in the same sign as Mars at 20 degrees. All right, astro nerds, that's your astro porn for the day. But yeah, I'm telling you right now, a lot of really interesting things have been happening, and I appreciate you listening to the Six of Discs. We're gonna break it out into the midtro pretty soon. I'm gonna keep the show going, but I think I'm gonna take a quick break and go do a decan ritual right quick, and come back, because literally like 2 minutes left in the day to do that, as I said. So yeah, it's 4:20 now though. That's exciting, right? You know what? I haven't smoked any cannabis this entire month, pretty much. Like, and I mean, like, it's like 4:20. What is it? Like, it's the official 4:20 month of the reality. You know, it's like so called by Anno Domini, Dominatrix, Annie Dominatrix, 2020. It's like all the 4:20s and stuff like that. I'm just saying, like, heck of a time to quit smoking weed, right? But anyways, oh, cannabis. I do love it. I did testify in front of the Massachusetts State Senate way back in the Dizay, saying that it does help medically. But then there's even bigger games to play. And again, don't be anti-life by fearing death. You know what I'm saying? Chicken shit kind of shit that is, isn't it? It really is. It's chicken shit. It's a fucking pansy. I'm just saying, man. And, you know, I'm not saying that, like, there isn't some fear in letting go, because there is, you know? Like, I love my family. I love my girlfriend, who is 1 year for us. Like, you know, count the leap year, I guess, at 333 today, that would be. But, yeah, 1 year tomorrow is our anniversary. I'll be putting this show out tomorrow evening on the 4:30 Beltane-ish. So, yeah, she's a whole other blessing in my life. And, like, you know, I'm a keeper around. I'm not saying, you know, y'all can expect that annunciation to come soon, but soonish, not too soon. But anyways, I think she can hear me right now, so I don't know if it's gonna fuck up the surprise. But yo, one thing, I'm becoming very familiar and appreciative of Athanor. That's the alembic fire that burns away the old dross. And so I'm just trying to say, like, people gotta recognize, like, yo, man. Mufasa has to die in a way. I'm not saying that there's no MK Ultra stuff going on in those Disney movies, because, but I am saying that what you need to realize is that, you know, pain is good in some ways. Pain is weakness leaving the body, some people say. I don't know if I like all the way that they're phrased and stuff, like, you know, that's some total bodybuilder stuntman out of the shadows stuff, dropping clues. But, yeah, man. We're going to get into the third part of the show pretty soon, or the second part of the show, or however it is, fourth part of a circle part of the show soon. Very fascinating to learn this bit about how I'm now understanding things. Let me see if I can say this before I go and do my Taurus 1 deckhand here. I love doing that. It's good stuff. I love those deckhand walks. Shout out to Joey J for no reason, because he's my deckhand buddy there. My deckhand bro. Yeah, so let's see if I can come back around to this. What was I just saying? You gonna remember this, Nate? You gonna get it for the good people, the people wearing masks like Bane now. Okay, let's see if I can come back around to this. So, Athanor burning things off. Nope, I might have just spun myself right out of this because now I'm thinking about the deckhands. But that's okay. I can. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, mass mind control. This is MK Ultra. Yeah, what was I gonna say about that? Well, I don't know. When I come back, yeah, that's right. Okay. So here's what it is. When you look at the new moon and the quarter moons, or right, the what's like, it looks like half of it is full, half, but you're already talking about like half of a half, so that is a quarter, you know, because like a full moon's like, you know, that half and the other half. But like, anyways, whatever, like, just stay with me here. The idea is this: when you have a any two celestial bodies, let's just take the Saturn and the Pluto, which is most fascinating to me. Like I said, I have them both in the same sign. I have actually very cool that I have Saturn at 13 degrees, right? The death card, right? Yeah. And I have the 00 degree. Oh, yeah. Thrusting. Come on. Feel it entering, penetrating beyond anything that you've ever been penetrated, more deeply and more thoroughly and more fulfillingly than you've ever felt. Feel my 00 Pisces? That's my Pisces trying to take over my Scorpio because I'm a Pisces rising. Yo, feel my Scorpio penetrating you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Some of you just turned this off, but you lost. All of you still with me, you won. That's how easy it was. We got rid of we Athanor to the dross there. Now the cool ones are still with us. You guys are the chosen ones, the non-profane, right? Maybe. So what's up? Listen up. When you look at how the new moon is situated when it's relegated to the Solomon, that is to say when the sun and the moon are at the same degree, that's when you have a new moon, all right? You can remember this. For those of you who don't know this, and for a lot of you learning astrology, this is like, damn, I figured this out. It's like, you know, Austin releases for the kids in his class. For us fine people in this course, he's released a planetary hours thing. And I'm like, damn, man, I've been doing my own stuff into this already. It's just, like I said, catch up. So here's the point. Mustard, relish this. This is the idea on a bun. Fun on a bun. Man, control yourself, please, Nate. Really, that the objective reason. Please use that. Okay. Oh, is that why there's two beavers? Oh my God. Anyways, so poets know what they say, but they don't know what they say. So okay, I'll get to the point, and then we're gonna go do my deckhand thing. I'll actually get this one done on time, first time around, right? So the idea is that when you have the new moon and the sun, when you have the moon and the sun at the same degree, okay, that means like, let's say you have the 12 of the signs and you have, let's just use what is in right now, Taurus. We just had a new moon about a week or so ago. So we're coming up on a quarter moon in a day or so, right? And that's 50% between. So that's at a quarter angle aspect. So you start off at a new moon and you have it when the sun and the moon are conjunct.
then it goes into a square, all right? And then it goes, so it's directly opposed, and then it goes into a square. Square being 180 degrees, I think 90. Well, it's 90 and 180, because like 9 and 3, right? So anyways, on a clock face, for example. But let's say if you're looking at a clock and the two hands are together, right? It's an hour, and then when you go, it's 15, and then when it's directly opposed, right? When the little hand is directly opposed to the big hand, that's going to be a half an hour, right? So it's directly across. The half an hour point is the full moon. So it's when it's directly across in the opposite sign, say from Pisces, that's going to be over to Virgo and such, right? So, for example, Aries and Libra. So that's going to be your full moon when it's furthest apart on the wheel, so to speak, all right? So that's something I realized that really helped me, because I'm looking at the patterns of Pluto and Saturn, and just like Tool's got the new fear inoculum. Come on, inoculum. Come on. Right, fear. Come on, Saturn and Pluto, like inoculating themselves again. It's like so smart, dude. Their logo's like a syringe. You also got this whole thing about people trying to like use like things that they put in syringes to control you, because you got fear. You got an injection of fear from the abduction. You know, you just wish someone would tell you what was right, right? Well, you keep listening to the Six of Discs and donating, and you're gonna get that, because that's for real. That's no bullshit. That's true, true. All right, let me go put this on the thing, because I got to go do my thing. But we'll be back after the midtro. Thank you so much for listening.
Right. So this is the midtro of the Six of Discs. This is the part in the show where those who have donated at www.occultfan.com and hit the donate button, or have gone directly over to paypal.com and entered occultfan@gmail.com into their send address will be able to get their names and notes mentioned. This is the producer level per the Value for Value role-playing game model. This is the level that is underneath 200 and above the anonymous level that is $50 below. So if you want to be anonymous, come in at 49.99. And a lot of sustaining donors do that. Got quite a few that are under in the anonymous level. So thank you to all of those who do that. I appreciate everything that people who have donated on a consistent basis have been doing. And those of you who want to get in on this, even if you don't need to necessarily at this time, get your name read at the executive producer level or the producer level here in the midtro. I do appreciate all that comes in. It's really great. It's still a young fledgling podcast, and I really am grateful for the models that I find to be admirable that have come before me. That is obviously no agenda. That is the way to do it. The value for value always. There's no paywall, no need for that. That's just, it's not the way. We don't hold economies hostage here. So anyways, without further ado, we're going to get back into the show now. So thank you so much for listening. This is the Six of Discs. So let's talk a little bit about my own evolution and how I feel about being an artist and a poet and a musician and even a radio show host. Radio show. This is the sound of my voice. Coming live from my own funeral. Beautiful weather offered a nice shine. That's a different conjunction, Sage. Yo. It's a whole other conversation. Thinking about how I had a conversation with Davide De Angelis, my roommate out in Hollywood, when I went to see Chaotic Good and was one of the 8 golden ticket holders and did chant the 8th episode of Twin Peaks's "This is the water, this is the well. The horse is the white of the eyes," and all of that jazz, right? I chanted that at Gordon White. He was just like, okay. Help! Need an adult! He was my age back then, that I am now. It's so strange. yes. So anyways, 3 of Cups? Nailed it. Just do a random card from the Starman Tarot. Yeah, bye-bye. There's the whole thing. I spoke with David. It's the Star of Davide, I said. So that's how you got to start referring to it now. You don't have to do anything, but of course it is what's up and what's in. Ooh, baby. So anyways, yes, it was a wonderful conversation with him, and he
did a lot to give me a different perspective on who I am. I have no issues with where I've come from. A lot of that has just changed. I feel back in the path of the Tao, in the creative, the greater spirit. It's really exciting. It's been 2 weeks now, just about, since we had our conversation. You can go to Starman Productions, I believe it is. I'll probably put the link in the show notes. If anyone's interested in doing that, I highly recommend it. I cannot express my gratitude enough. Not sure if he'll listen to this. I'm sure he's busy. And it's important. He's not there to be your friend. He's there to get you where you want to be. So speaking of Gordon, and when I went out there and chanted, "This is the water and this is the well," which was a magical act for me to do, and I proclaimed quite leoninely, "I am Nathan Lee." And then I got my tarot read by one of the actresses who was in The Craft, literally the movie The Craft. You know, the one with the stiff as a feather, light as a board. which was really an experience in of itself. And one of the cards she drew was the Seven of Cups in that. I am a Pisces rising. And the Eight of Cups is that card, actually. But I'm 7 degrees, for those keeping up at home. For those playing along at home, for those playing with themselves at home, because that's about where most people are right now with this whole plandemic. By the way, I'm just going to say that, like, I look forward to when I have the state of mind, the presence of mind to be balanced enough to recognize that people are so much more advanced than me. But respect being what it is, out in Hollywood, my roommate was Dave David. That's what I referred to him as. His name's Dave. It's a great guy. We went to the Hayden Planetarium together, which is something that he had been wanting to do for a long time. He loves the Mekons. And Dave and I in Hollywood and Los Angeles, and then of course, shout out to the Corvuses who were out there, Tom and Sam, Sam and Tom, both wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. I love them. I love them and David as well, the three of them. So the four of us who were chilling in that Hollywood bungalow, and then, you know, of course, that was Los Angeles and David. So then David DeAngelis is entering into my life in this fashion. It really is. I'll say not so much about like what his advice would be, because that's for those of you who step into that or up to that. But there's just so much going on, and you know, it's okay if people want to like step off the world stage or whatever. This is completely me talking just right now from my own. But it's just like, you know, Philip Jeffrey doesn't exist, at least in the way that he used to. Dude, it's so amazing. So much respect for these talented artists. I could only hope that in this lifetime, there's a few artists that I really, really, really want to work with. David Lynch is at the top of that list. I could only hope that I would be presentable enough and be in my core of love with my fixed heart so that I do not die. So he could, you know, but warts and all, because I'm far from perfect. Par from perfect. But, you know, like, I would love to work with that man. He's probably the most important artist slash DJ, like artist slash art creator slash musical DJ. Basically, for those listening to this, there's a particular person, there's someone out there I need to get my stuff, my creations in front of, and they are an artist and they're a DJ. That's what I can say. I do have this awesome video that I'm going to be sharing with Dave, but it's one day you'll see it, and just like that bluebird. Man, wow, just so much going on right now, watching the stars, just all these comets and asteroids and meteors, in my own mind's eye, if you will. The desire is there. I'm not sure if you've caught up with everything I've said. This isn't exactly a not stream of consciousness, but there's a lot of threads that I'm trying to tie together and just present in a way that I do things, because this is how I do things. Thank God it wasn't me who wrote the Constitution. First Amendment, 17th Amendment. I say, what? Does anyone out there even know what those amendments are? Are there even 17 amendments? Do you even know? It's only keepers, the people. Brother George Washington. Yeah, man, I know. Republic, if we can keep it. I know. Do I? But the point is that someone like David Lynch, I would love to work with. He's like my grandfather or something. Like, he would be fascinated by how, I think he would be fascinated by how, like, just what I am. And, like, how, like, my grandfather is Harry Leroy Foster, Harry Potter, Harry Foster, and Harry Truman. And then, like, his wife is, like, you know, gosh, what was her name? Was it Linda? No, gosh, I can't remember right now. But, yeah, it's just really nuts how, like, all of my family's names show up in Twin Peaks like that. It's just one of those things, is like stark raving mad to think that there's any meaningful connection, and yet it's stark raving mad not to think that there's any meaningful connection. I guess, like, where I'm going with this is that Joe Rogan too would be another decent fit. I'd love to work with him, just like get real, like, you know, like get past the ego shells and like just be comfortable. It was this bizarre thing where on the call with Dave, that the Starman tarot that JJ got me, my better half, again, 1 year anniversary coming up, she got me the Starman tarot, the limited edition. She's so wonderful. And it is the number of my limited edition is basically like a particular town, and like, kismet be it what it is, Joe Rogan went to school in that town, and I think he went to the same high school as my mother, actually. Long story short, and it's just like I was putting in that number and then flipping it around and seeing the different like zip codes that it matched, and one of them was that town, and then, like, you know, of course Joe Rogan comes up on the call. I'm just like, dude, so, like, you know, for the coolest people in the world, we don't believe that there are accidents. There aren't. Like, there's a grand clock. So all of this tying back around to, like, just the very quotes from Leo Tolstoy and the 365 Tao with Dengman Tao, and to the Tarnas book that I've got here, and The Invisibles even, and reading these Twin Peaks books, you know, to the Anthony Peake stuff I'll just throw in on top of my copy of Shakespeare's The Tempest right over there. But to bring it really back into focus, like, also just like that is in where's the other book that I was trying to find? It's not Cosmos and Psyche, is it? Well, anyways, there was another book. But all of the books that I'm reading right now, including the Law of Psychic Phenomena, all of these things are feeding back into this, like, massive art project that is my life and the evolution that I'm going through right now. And it's really gratifying to be going through this right now. You know, out of deep interest in just being spontaneous, I'm actually going to play a bit of guitar for the listener right now. So, you know, this is Alice that you'll be hearing, and I hope that this lines up. So here's some spontaneity for you, because you know, that's how we roll. So I'm gonna play a quick I guess I'll give you a quick demo of the demo that I'm working on. So I'm gonna drop D this just to... Is that too high? It's almost too high, right? It's getting closer. Ooh, it's dead air on the radio, folks. Thank you.
reflection. And yet you think there's a new viral evolution. Well, all I hear's the devil laughing.
So it's just a little brief, like, teaser of the lyrics that I've been slowly putting together. It's like, you tell me you don't believe in weapons of mass destruction. Back in 2003, wasn't that the lie used to get us over into Iraq, right? So it's like, when the conservatives be lying, they'll be lying about the wars, and when the liberals be lying, they'll be lying about the germs. It's basically the intimation of that point. I don't even know if you could hear any of that. You know, if you can, that's good. I hope so. My recorder over here is not showing very much on the way of sound there, so I'm gonna have to just say, if you couldn't hear that, I'm not going to edit that. It's just not going to be very loud, and that's what it is. That's the chaos and chaotic good. The good death with chaotic protocol. So anyways, I think I've said quite a bit for today that's useful, or at least dreamy and sustainably erotic, so that it ties you all together. Really, this podcast is the rug in the dude's apartment, you know? Or at least before it got, like, fucking trashed or whatever, man. So, I got a little bit further to go. I did do the, first decan of Taurus for the decan walk. That was really fun. I enjoyed that. Great visuals. Lots of orgies at the base of her feet. What? Uranus-Neptune cycle. Yeah, that sounds exactly what I said. Page 365. How about that? Full circle, huh? Actually, that's 360. The 5 is a product of trying to... The leap year is a 4 and the fourth part of a circle, and we can use... the understanding of how the hands of the clock coming together, that's a new hour, it's a new moon, and it goes to a quarter, and it's then at the opposition, and it's a quarter again, so the 15 and the 45 are typically the 9 and the 3, so the 3 and the 9 symbolizing the partitions that are technically squares. So then you get the same thing when you have a, let's start a cycle, say, of Pluto and... Saturn, which is totally what's going on with, like, what Tool was using for their fear inoculum, and feel the sting of time bearing down and the intensity of, you know, Pluto's, that, you know, apparently Pluto's all has to do with, like, Eros and sex too, and then but that's like the thonotic sex, so it's like the sexual death drive. But yeah, so like in 2003, yeah, let me just read more from the TARDIS, the time and relative dimension in sexy. The period of greatest conservative empowerment, including the U.S. invasion of Iraq in March 2003. Ah, 3-3. Wink, wink. That's the magic number. 6 of disc, yeah! That's the thing, though. Like, I was totally a different person back then, even from where I'm at now. Man, my evolution is like hyperdrive. This is great. Remember, Chris Knowles is right. Mr. Loring... talking about better morgue than Borg. There's no proper way to do the transhumanism. That's bullshit. And that's also, again, back to the concept of the Tolstoy talking about, you know, it's like people be like, oh, what about grandma? I'm like, what about grandma? I love my grandmas, but they wouldn't stand for this bullshit. They'd be like, people being chicken shit. I'd be like, yeah, dude, It's like, I have an obligation to keep for certain things. I'm a Rosicrucian, for example. I have those obligations to keep. Those are very, Rosicrucianism is very important to me, especially increasing in these times. And, you know, other things are important to me, too, that I seem to have been, like, some kind of strangely legacied into, if you get what I'm saying. It's by my own free will and cheese, but for sure. Free will and cheese. But, you know, it's like, I think that it's important to realize what's really a true version of that and what's a facsimile is what I'll say. But back to that, you know, it's like when I was younger, I was totally against the invasion of Iraq. But, you know, that's just going to happen. Someone's going to come along and make that happen. You know, the people act on the cosmic from the psyche, you know. So it's like, you got people going and creating those hippie love houses. Haight-Ashbury was apparently, according to the Joe Rogan show, back to that facet, because that's the diamond mind, right? Just get these kids tattooing diamonds on themselves to show the fracture of the mind. You know, is it like a conspiracy or is it just like an aspect? And now when you get that symbol going, it resonates. I was going to say about like the thing too with the, you know, the 365 Tao passage from 119 earlier, 119, it's like, there's this guy, Edmund something or other, talking about how we all did 9/11, and I'm like, yo, man, I get what you're saying, we are the dreamer who live inside the dream, like Lynch living inside his own creation there, too. So when he was back around to that, I was against that. Now I'm like of the certain age, I'm against this kind of, like, you know, mommy brain oppression. You got the daddy brain oppression, where it's going over there. You know, they say the conservatives are the daddy brain. They worship the daddy energy, the emperor. And then the conservative is the other side of, you know, the red and the blue Jacobi. You got to use purple. Purple mind is the one who's the third eye straight up, as I'm looking at the Masonic Emperor tarot card. So you got to realize, if you're going to do it right, according to my understanding of things, that I would say that now we're living in a time where it's just like, oh, everyone, just stay home. Just, grandma's gonna live forever. We're gonna get her into a technocratic suit. You know, if people take if the people's mind's so filled with pus that they take obsessed to this, I don't know what to tell you. This is just my point of view, and you must practice tolerance. You must practice tolerance. You must social distance. You know, man, social distance. Come on, people be arresting fucking rabbis, man. That's how blatant do we have to get with the fascists? How, huh? You gotta tie those magnets together into the fascists. Anyways, that's enough of that. I'm just a little disturbed by the fact that, you know, you tell me you don't believe in weapons of mass destruction, yet you believe that there's a novel, your faithful Corona typewriter under the sun. It's a novel. Oh my God, I'm so excited that there's new things happening. Oh, this is a good chance for me to just, oh, let's not shake hands. Let's just put our hands on ourselves and let's just masturbate the way to death. You know, it's like, don't respect the fact that, like, you know, when you're sick, like, you're closer to, you know, it's like you're closer to God that way. It's like people so anti-life now. They don't believe in God. They just believe in the, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're following what I'm saying, I'm glad for you. Because, like, you're the person I don't have to. It's like, are we even going to convince other people? So to me, it seems like I'm in a precarious place where I recognize the culling that is occurring. And I'm not in a position to really do much about it except to have this voice that I say, hey, I see what's going on. We won't be fooled again. And, you know, I hear the devil laughing, you know, the deceiver laughing, you know, the deceiver chased away, the one who says to fear the breath and the light. Eh? It's pneuma is pneumonia, sans the certain letters which indicate a particular kind of sequence being either added or taken away. You know, this gets into the CRISPR stuff. It's all right there. I mean, like, I don't have the wherewithal to really put it better than that. This is where the subjective genius is of gift to me, but I don't necessarily have the objective gift at rationalizing it for you. I can only present these pieces and then hope to God that someone is listening that is of social use and of moral decency and of upstanding backbone nature. They have all 33 activated to the point of Golgotha that they can Christian-like, Christ-like, be of use to us. Because, like, I'm trying to be of most use to humanity as possible. Like, beyond the pretty words and the do's or whatever. Like, I'm straight up trying to do straight up God work, like what a true version would be, you know, Lodge 49, the true version of the Lodge, you know what I'm saying? So
And that's just the best of my capability. And forgive me if I am found, you know, if found wanting. That's what I'm saying. Like, forgive me or don't forgive me. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. Dude, I'm doing the best I can. What the fuck? It's like Minor Threat. What the fuck are you doing? You know? So anyways. Ugh. Why is everybody in such a fucking rush to not go anywhere anymore? Fucking. You ever notice how the MKUltra, back to that thought, it was just like a mass initiation of mind control. That is, if you participate in initiation of your own free will and accord, then it is just and legal. And if it is done unto you, then it's fucking mind rape. You know what I'm saying? And there's a particular age of innocence where, like, the child just doesn't have, you know, it's either, like, age 1 through 7, that's the first chakra development, if you will, however that works. So 7 by 7 is 49, speaking of Lodge 49, the full development of a person. You're not supposed to do Kabbalah until you're 40, according to some traditions. 35, you're considered man. So now I'm a man. Even though in Mordecai the Yiddish clown or whatever. Shut up now, you're a man. It's good stuff, dude. The guy was a Catholic, though, right? I wonder what that guy went through. I don't know. Not here to hurl stones. Got to pull the plank out of my own eye. I wish other people would actually pull the plank out of their own eye. But, you know, again, that kind of goes against the point, I guess. But, all right, where are we going with this? Are you still listening to me here? Thank you for listening. This is my way of being able to express certain ideas and get these out there. Where have I gotten to in the past year, let's say, since I met JJ? Since I, I become a seventh, I finished my, the capitulate degrees in masonry. I'm at so let's stick with that for a second. That's one of my favorite things was the capitulate degrees. To brethren in the craft lodge, I would heavily suggest, as long as masonry still, you know, around after all of this, because, you know, it's not something you can do from Zoom. You know, anyone who knows about, like, you know, the idea of Phi, P-H-I, right, the Phi, you know, there's something about fellowship that a master mason, especially, you know, because I'm not saying it, I'm literally treading, I'm walking the line, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, there's, you can't do this stuff unless you're, you know, lodge is necessary. Being together is necessary. So then, speaking strictly to brother masons of the third degree, or I guess of anyone, but, like, you know, in masonry, that is, you know, like LBJ, that dude was a first degree, apparently. Ford was a third degree, but that's the last Master Mason president that we had, actually. It was Gerald Ford. One of his kids' name was almost Doug. It was Dowd. Interesting. But yeah, so basically, the seventh degree, man. Woo, Nelly. Man, do I have love for the York Rite? Yes, sir. Scottish Rite's great, too. I like them both. I'm not in the shrine right now, like Dr. They, but... I'm getting more interested. I might, if I were ever to do those, I would probably like get dispensation to go down to Florida and do it at the proper Mecca. I'd do that with my brother down there, whose name I will leave redacted. Can it be redacted if you didn't say it in the first place? You have some looking glass logic, my friend. So what's up? Let's go with a shout out to Frederick Xavier. Hope he watches the video that I shared with him by David Martins. Been sharing that around with some people who I believe are prepared for the level of you know, awareness that's going on. And some straight up stuff. Like, then I see people like, you know, James Keenan and like fucking Trent Reznor, like in solidarity with this. I'm like, you know, I get it. There's another world coming from the other side, but like, I doth protest not too much. J'accuse of those who are doing this in such a way. There's got to be a better way, right? Isn't there? It's like True Stream talking about we are being initiated. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It comes back around to the MK Ultra being done against people or not. I mean, like, I guess I'm not, like, sufficiently advanced enough from a year ago. Anyways, to understand all this, you know, how necessary it is or whatever, it just seems totally archonic to me. But yeah, since a year ago, took my seventh degree, finished my capitular degrees, and I love it. So if you're a Mason, you want to take those, like, definitely, absolutely. It's very good, very good, very good. But I am the son of a preacher man, so, I mean, I'm inclined towards the holy, holy, holy. And furthermore, I'm now entered into the third atrium in Rosicrucianism, so I'm about to be ready to take my first degree. I'm looking very much forward to that. My Rosicrucian studies have really done a lot to make me focus on becoming a better person in the light direction, if you will, in the sense of being a true healer.
And that's why I'm doing my best to still, while I have my stream of consciousness and my way of drawing together these concepts in a Stephen Jay Gouldian way, I want to say that, like, I'm still trying to make it so that you can process it, so that those of you who have stuck with me through this today, who are still here, still listening, are able to get something out of this that is valuable to you and that can help you bolster your own spirit to live in the light and to be someone who is fearless, to be someone who is useful, someone who's fun, someone who's cool. That's what's up, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I hope. You know, this is a public service. This is, of course, not medical advice or legal advice or dietary advice, but it is nice and moist. Moist. All right. Stop abusing the listener, Nate. All right. So let's finish this up today. Let's say basically made some progress in the Masonry and the Rosicrucianism. And as a person, I'm much more temperate than I ever have been. The four cardinal virtues are more important to me than ever, and I believe I am beginning to live them more accurately and truly and faithfully, and that these times that have been testing us all have really begun to make me move in a much more successful direction. I am a year of the rat. I'm a wood rat, which is fascinating in of itself. That being said, it's a very good year for me in my career especially. And the thing is, like I was just saying last night, you know, as the world has begun to crash, my career is taking off. And that's only going to get more and more true in that sense. I want to give respect to people like, you know, Martin Armstrong and Dave Martins, and especially David De Angelis. Massive respect, massive thanks, and just, you know, it's pointing me in a direction where, like, I'm becoming more aware of who I need to be, of how I need to act, and what's useful in that, you know. And it's like, I wish I could see, like, certain perspectives, you know what I'm saying? But, like, yeah, geez, you know, what else do I get to say besides that? This is interesting times we living in, and it is now 5:55 p.m., so I think with that, I'm gonna call it quits for today. It's quitting time.
Listening to the Six of Discs. This has been the fourth Six of Discs. This is the 50th episode of the Six of Swords. This is halfway to 100, and we're about an hour and 12 minutes in, so I think we'll quit at 113 and see what we can do with that. But yeah, thank you as always. Donate at occultfan.com, hit the donate button, or go to PayPal and enter occultfan@gmail.com and put in the amount that you want to put in that this is worth to you. It's the value for value role-playing game model, so those who donate at the highest each month will be invited to play on the Six of Wands live show, and we always have a great time with that. I heavily encourage you to listen to those if you haven't. Really fun ongoing adventure. It's the finalist of fantasies and the Zeldars of the Zeldarians. And some Rune Factory thrown in there. And it's really, really fun. And it blends with the real, melds with the real, you know, just like David Lynch does with Twin Peaks and as Gordon Cole there. Yo, I noticed too that whole thing. Has anyone seen Billy? It's like that man loves his golden age of Hollywood. Has anyone seen Kelly? So anyways, I hope you got something out of this. Again, Philip Jeffries doesn't exist in the same way that he used to. But mad respect to David Bowie. And I guess just to finish up, donate if you appreciate what you've heard, if you want to further my heightening of my career as we go forward, because it's something that, you know, if you value what I bring to the table, this perfunctory potency and pluralistic, okay, I'm done with all the alliteration. I'm just going to say, if you appreciate the fun way that I deliver these artistic points and the deep education of the authoritative learning that I seem to possess when it comes to these especially Scorpio, Eagle, Phoenix topics, and the way that I do it in a fun and artistic manner, definitely you want to be participating in that.
for all the right reasons. And I don't have any obligations to you to do, other than if you feel like you want to be part of this and to get credit for it or to give a shout out. It's a fun thing to do. The model is $200 plus is for the executive associate producer level. So anything at $300 is executive. And then if you're at $200 above, there's no one above you for that show. You get bumped up to the executive producer level. But $300 is the actual executive producer level. And $200 is associate executive. And then, of course, anything under $50 is anonymous and doesn't get mentioned. But in the mid-tro, in the middle part of the show, we mentioned those who are between the 50 and the 200, and I appreciate everyone who comes in also underneath that amount. Thank you to all of those of you who do that, and looks like we're about the end of the show right now, so until next time, thank you so much for listening to the Six of Discs. This was the 50th episode of the Six of Swords, and come in, number 51, your time is...